to the Real and Random Podcast. I am your host, Rashida, a.k.a. Randomly Rashida, and today is a special day. Tell us why.
Because it's our fifth anniversary. We made it to 5 years. Whoop, whoop.
Wow. You know, sometimes you can go by script, and then there's those who go off the script, and I think you just went off the script that didn't even exist. So, yeah. So it is. It's our anniversary, and yeah, we made it 5 years, Charles. So this episode today is brought to you by
Fears and Tears.
Wow. What does Fears and Tears mean?
5 years of Fears and Tears. But all throughout those years, my love for you only grew stronger, baby.
Oh my God, don't do that. So we're going to talk about dating after divorce. We each have been married once before, and over the years, we found each other. So I want to know, how long were you divorced, first of all?
I was divorced for 17 years.
That's a long time. Like, that's a long time.
I was divorced longer than I was married.
How was dating after marriage?
Dating for me was kind of odd because I didn't know what I wanted or who I wanted or what my interests were. So I was so busy trying to find me to the females I was hanging out with. Really wasn't my focus, you know, it was dating for need more than a want.
I'm not going to even ask you what that need part was, so I'm going to let that go. For me, dating after divorce was two-pronged, and you might not be able to relate to this because you're not a lady, but I felt like I had lost my mojo after I got divorced, for real. And I was like, am I still going to be likable? I'm now a single mother of three kids, and I don't know if that's what people are into. You know what I'm saying? I thought... You know, it was one thing when I was a single mother with one child, but now you got three kids. Like, what is that going to look like? I can see a guy now going, oh, no, that's called baggage. Because, you know, that was the word back in the day. Everybody said, you got baggage. Kids equal baggage. So, and you're...
ready-made family.
So, how did you feel when you... If you approached a chick and she had, like, more than one child?
Well, because I was divorced and I had children from my first marriage, and me and my kids were very, very close... I wouldn't date a woman that had kids when I first got divorced. I wouldn't date a woman that had kids because I never wanted my kids to ever feel second best or slighted by me being in a house with some other children at some point or hanging around other kids and they are not there with me. So I wouldn't date a woman with kids when I would go down there. I actually made that sacrifice. I would rule out anyone with children because I never wanted to make my kids feel second best.
Wow. So in the streets, we might call you a hater, but then again, I can only appreciate that logic because that's kind of sweet at the end of the day. But the other thing I realized is that when you're of a certain age, so how old were you when you got divorced?
I got divorced, I was 37.
So you're pushing 40. You have to think, and this hit me as well, the demographic I was targeting for my dating pool at the time, I was probably late 30s as well, approaching 40. So it was unrealistic for me to think that that the guy I was going to potentially meet wouldn't have any kids because statistics show that most people have at least one child by the time they're in their 20s. And to think otherwise that the guy I would come across would not have kids, I felt like I might be a hypocrite because I'm like, I have a kid. Why can't I accept the guy who has a kid as well? Because that's only right. You never thought of it that way?
I did think of it that way, but I said to each his own, you know, what works for you may not work for me, and it didn't because, like I said, because every summer I spent that time with my kids. So even when I was dating, between the months of school ended in May, so June to August, I didn't date.
You shut it down.
I shut it down.
You went dark.
I went dark. The women had to go away. And I would just tell them up front, look, my kids only hang out with me from June through August. Now, if you can be around after those 3 months, all well and good, I'll holler at you. If not, enjoy your life. But they only get 3 months a year, so I'll make sure these 3 months are totally dedicated to them. And I just hung out with my kids.
Wow. Now, I knew a family member who would say, if whenever he had his child, he would say, okay, you can come over, but you only could come after the child had gone to bed, and you had to be gone before the child woke up. So the child never saw like a bunch of women coming in and out. So that could have been an option for you. You just went all in and said, just blackout.
Well, I didn't go that route because I didn't want my kids to see, you might come this year and I'm dating Sue. You come next year and I'm dating Sally. I didn't want you to be asking me 50 questions. You know, you might like Sue.
But that's the whole deal. The woman comes after the kids go to bed, and they leave before the kids get up. So they would never see Sally.
That would never work in a perfect world. It never works out. Kid goes to the bathroom. You go to the bathroom. Some noise in the night. Something happens where you found that one night where you interact.
Hashtag lock the door.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Children walk the floor, and you have no, unless you have a back door to your bedroom that leads to the outside, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
They're going to get caught up at some point, so I never put myself in that position. But my kids are just looking at me with one when I thought, my daughter asked me one time, she said, Dad, now I know you got some girlfriends, but we come to visit, you never see anybody, your phone don't ring, nobody calls or come by. I said, I know, baby, because this is your time, and it's totally about y'all. You know, I don't need anybody by right now. I'll catch them later.
Well, that is totally commendable, and I'm glad I wasn't dating you at the time, because if you had to put me on pause, you would have been on pause indefinitely. Bye, boo.
Now, the key to all that was, as I told you the first time, I wasn't seriously trying to date anyone, you know, on a regular rundown. I was just, you know, taking care of needs at the time. I wasn't trying to lock in. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I didn't do second dates.
Oh, wow.
At that time for the first 5-6 years I was divorced, I didn't do second dates. You got one ride on the goody-go-round. That was it.
So you were a thought before there was a thought.
Any way you want to look at it, I just realized that if I wasn't really going to be serious about you, it wasn't really for me to date you 2, 3, 4, 5 times, because that's a relationship. And if I wasn't serious, then no need to try to drag you along, making you think you'd be in a relationship with someone who really wasn't relationship ready at that moment. So I didn't do seconds.
Understood. Let's talk about dating. I remember, well, let me ask you this. How important, well, you said it was, you didn't date chicks who had kids because you didn't want to be unfair to your real kids. At some point that changed, because you did get with me and I had 3 kids at the time. So that changed at some point, and we'll get to that. Let's talk about dating stories. Did you ever use any of those online dating services? Like, what was it, Match.com, Black People Meet, weird things like that?
Only after I had been single, like 17 years. Then, you know, at the end, I got a little older and slowed down and said, you know, club's not it for me, bar's not it, so maybe I'll check out one of those sites. And I realized they're not it either.
No.
Because most of those sites were booty calls. I just realized that. I said, oh, my God, that's all they're after. I'm a little deeper than that.
Or what I found was that it would be the same people across all these different platforms.
Yes.
And for multiple years, and I'm thinking, well, are you in it to find somebody, or are you in it just to be showcasing your profile? Like, I never could understand that, because I'm like, at some point, you got to kind of settle down on somebody. Everybody can't be not for you. That means there might be something wrong with you.
That means you might be feathering your cap, just see how many you can run to, because everybody knows now. Some people know those sites are just booty calls. So if I can get in the right level here and stay consistent, I can have a different girl every week.
Well, now everybody knows dating comes at a cost. And I remember specifically this one time, this guy was like, he had already had it all calculated. I'll never forget it. And guys have this way of feeling used and abused when they go on a date. But newsflash for me, I didn't really want to go out and eat. I'm like, can you be creative? Like, can we go for a walk in the park? Can we, like, just talk? I don't want to go to a movie, because movies mean you don't talk, right? And you're trying to touch and feel, and I need you to keep your hands to yourself and back up off me. Or there's the person.
You took me to a movie.
Right. And I hate movies. But I didn't want you to talk. I didn't want to talk.
But that was when I want to touch you feely movies.
And I wish you would have. It would have been a problem, right? I wasn't doing you like that.
I didn't even know what to do.
I hated movies. And I don't necessarily want to eat, because I'm like, I don't want to be blow up and be fat, because we always went out to eat. So I hated that. The good thing about you was you cooked. And so did I. Even though I wasn't keen on people coming to my house. But we had got to a point where, okay, I kind of like this guy. He kind of likes me. So sure, I'll go to his house. It beats going out to eat. You know, so, and I could be casual and dress down and not be
totally
all fluffy.
Casual.
You already know.
Totally.
So that part worked for me with you only, but that wasn't what I was really into. So anyway, this guy right here, he says, oh yeah, like dating is very expensive. And he had it figured out to where he felt he was a victim. He did. He was like, it's costing me like $1,000 a month to take chicks out and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you might want to thin that down a little bit, bro.
Don't take out so many.
There it
so
is. Or he was like, yeah, I asked this one chick to just pick the place. And he thought women were picking their dream places of where would I go if I had an infinite budget. So he was being victimized. He's like, she knows she wouldn't go there. And I looked at the menu and it was like, everything was like $40 a pop. He was through the roof. I was like, well, you might be doing something wrong. So with that being said, did you ever feel like you were being just preyed on for a free meal ticket?
Only once. And it was just for pizza.
Wow.
It was only one time because it wasn't the chick I was going to see. She was at a cousin's house. Mm-hmm. So I go to see her and I say, okay, I'll buy you some dinner, you know. Well, the cousin orders the dinner. Now, they both have one kid mm-hmm. in the house. So the cousin orders the dinner. She orders three large pizzas and some wings and a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm sitting there saying,
she's like, fiesta.
I said, she tried to check the depth of my pockets. She's trying to see how far I would go just to hang out here. I said, okay. And so me, I'm real with it. So I confronted her cousin. I said, you know, I'm here to see you. And your cousin ordered the food, but she's trying to jack me. She said, oh, no, don't feel victimized, Charles, because we're going to eat all that. If we have to eat it for breakfast tomorrow, they eating all that.
Oh, so in other words, like they came in with a doggy bag in mind.
Yeah. Well, I was at their house, so you know, right. Food would be there. She said, no, they're going to eat that. They're going to eat it for breakfast tomorrow.
But you're thinking that's not the point. I didn't plan on feeding everybody in the whole household.
Well, I didn't mind buying the food, but I didn't expect you to buy more than you could eat.
In that one setting.
Those kids were like, I think her little boy was like 5, you know, and the little girl was like 3. They're not eating pizza. And I say,
not 3 boxes.
Yeah, I don't eat pizza, so you're not really eating pizza. So what you could do the rest of the pizza? You know, hang out with her friends or something?
But then, you know, it's a catch-22 as well, because there's a guy who feels like a victim for having to pay for your dinner. But then I would show up and be like, oh, look at here, bruh. A player like me carries a whole debit card loaded, stacked, and packed. I don't need your money. Now he's offended. Oh, that's what you're doing. You independent. Okay, see, 2 minutes ago you was mad because I wanted to choose. This is the thing. I would tell guys this. I'm a professional woman. If you are a McDonald's dude, don't try to get a CEO to go on a date with you because she's not going to eat at McDonald's. So you need a date within your pay grade, pretty much. So there's that. Hold that thought, Charles, because you're ready to chime in. There's that. But I also, when I was dating people, I wouldn't choose restaurants just because I had a free meal, per se. It was places I would have taken myself to anyway, and so I had to make that very clear. Now, it might have came off sassy or independent and all that woman power stuff, but it was true. I was like, I'm not using you, and if you don't feel comfortable paying it, boo-boo, I got me, and I probably got you too. Boom. Hit it, Charles.
Okay, that's all well and good what you're saying, but sometimes the CEO will eat at McDonald's, depending on what she's looking for. She might not be looking for food all the time.
You know, oh, did you call yourself trying to spit right quick?
You can't know what you're chasing because I mean, look at you and I. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm not a CEO. Now, don't get it twisted.
You're not a CEO, but you still had what you like and I had what I like. Mm-hmm. And when we first met, we were kicking it and we realized that I didn't like this, this, and this. You didn't like that, that, and that. And every day we were still trying to hang out. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up getting married.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it wasn't about... Oh, I'm trying to, you know, especially if there's a deficiency in the pay grades of the two people, there's a propensity for the guy that, or whoever's got the lesser pocket to say, oh, you really trying to take advantage of me and you don't even know me. This is just a first date. So why don't we just go get some coffee? And that's what I would tell people. You don't have to go out and eat the first time you meet someone on a blind date. Go get a McDonald's milkshake or, you know, a lemonade at Chick-fil-A. You ain't got to spend millions of dollars. You can vet someone out real quick without spending $1 million.
Well, truthfully, most dates for food are really not about the food. Hmm. You go to restaurants because it takes a while for the food to come, first of all. That gives you a lot of conversation time if there's somebody you're really trying to get to know, be into. Mm-hmm. So that gives you talking time.
Okay.
Then while you're eating, you're still conversating. The meal is over. You might want a drink or dessert, but you're still conversating. You're not rushing to eat the food and just run away. And this is somebody you realize it
didn't work out.
Yeah, this is not working. I have been on those guys' days that it did not work. You know, you just got a free meal off me, baby. Enjoy your life. You know, I don't want to see you again.
Lose my number. Are we good?
Yeah. So you would have to identify what you're working for at that moment. Hmm. See what I'm saying? If the guy really into you, he want to take you out to eat because he knows it's going to be a long date.
Ah.
And then afterwards, depends on how long the meal lasts, you might want to go for a walk, not to walk it off, depending on how you vibing with him.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point. I always vetted people out up front anyway. We're going to have a couple of conversations over the phone before we ever meet. I call it meet and greet. Before we meet and greet in person, I'm not one to just meet and greet blind, having never spoke to you, and I'm just working off your internet words. Oh, no. We're going to talk, because I want to know your vibe. I want to know your level of conversation. Do you sound like Mickey Mouse because I'm not going to be interested? Or do you sound like overly pitchy or squealy? Like that, voices will turn you off. You can be real cute, but if your voice is bad, bye, Felicia. I can't do you. So I would always go vet people out, and then we would go out to eat. So at least I knew we had some baseline before we went into face-to-face. And I think if people did that, you could save everybody a little bit of anxiety.
Well, I always had conversations with the females I met online. I always talked to them on the phone. Mm. And I always set up a meet and greet, you know, kind of in public so I get to see you and you get to see me. And it's weird how it works out. This one chick, at that time I smoked. This one chick told me I never do smokers. I hate smokers.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, but she didn't like cigarettes. At that time, I think I smoked a cigarette.
I didn't either.
I don't either. I can't stand any kind of smoke. Mm-hmm. But she calls me the next day, so, you know me, being the rude rockhead I am. Hey, check this out. You don't like smokers. I'm a smoker. And I'm not trying to stop for you, so why are you calling me? I just asked her straight out like that. But I like talking to you. But you don't like smoking. I'm not going to change that, so how can you, you know?
Right.
So then she takes the talking to her. Let's have a meal. So my go-to spot is always Red Lobster because if you like seafood, every woman feels that they depending on the town you're in, if that's not the best, you know, if that's the best seafood you got, okay, they're happy with that.
Right.
Because they think they're getting upgraded.
Right.
So, you know, me, I always got my points and stuff. I eat Red Lobster, get free appetizers, all that stuff.
So you cheap on the slide. We got you.
Plus, I realize this. I like seafood, so I can get a good meal out of this. If the date's raggedy, I can still have good food, go home happy.
You at least walk away with something.
Yeah, saying I had a good meal. I'm all
right. Right.
We get to the restaurant. I'm hanging out with the chick. This chick undresses me. Oh, I love your bald head. I said, but I still smoke. And she just going out all the stuff she loves about me. I kept throwing up. I smoke. Mm-hmm. So after we eat everything, I tell her, I said, it was nice talking to you, but I still smoke and I'm not going to stop. So enjoy yourself.
So you just cut it off and said, this ain't going to work.
Yeah, because she started sizing me up for sex. And I said, you know, in my doggish days, she would not have had any problem here. She didn't have to take it this far. I didn't have to spend no money in Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but, you know, now it's, you know, a little more substance to me. And I realized that women have a little more value. You know, I'm looking for something more because everybody got sex. What do you have that no one else has?
That is true.
Surprise me.
Well, along those dating stories, I remember this was probably the fondest one. Oh, my God. He almost became a stalker at the end of the day. It was on a Friday, and at this point, I was kind of like, I was in it for the free meal part of it, I'll be honest. He was okay, but slightly annoying, and then he completely confirmed it at the table. We're there, and we're eating. Well, we get to the restaurant, we meet. I get to the table, we get seated, and he says, I said, are you hungry? Because I'm starving at this point. I said, are you hungry? And he says, no, not really. Let's order some drinks. I'm like, that's cool, but while we're ordering drinks, I order some food. The waitress walks away, and he starts mumbling like, you're rude. And I'm thinking, what just happened? Like, I just ordered a meal and not even a meal, it's an appetizer, no less. Not even a full plate and a drink. And then he says, dating in Atlanta. I said, oh, this one here is really tugged outside of his throat. And I'm already feeling annoyed. And we haven't even had a good conversation yet. And he just keeps on just going on and on. He's mumbling and saying this stuff. And I finally just, I said, well, listen, I asked you, did you want to eat? And he said, no. So I'm like, so why should my stomach be on hold because your stomach ain't hungry? I'm hungry. And he's like all offended, like, well, I had a process and we were supposed to do it this way. We're going to drink first, talk, and then eat. Now, hold up, player. You don't tell me how to do all this right here.
Plus, that process is working for you. I didn't sign up for that.
There you go. And it's still
them.
A meet and greet, by the way.
Yeah,
so,
I
you know,
up for them.
I can gladly walk away. So he just kept on talking underneath the side of his throat. And I was like, you know what? Enough already. Like I said, I carry my debit cards. I don't really need your free meal, and I'm a whole professional, and I got a job, so I'm good. The lady comes back with the drinks, and I'm eyeballing like where I can sit in the bar. You don't have to like be seated, so you can just—it's free open seating. I said, can you redirect my stuff over to the bar and bring my food over there? Because that's where I'm going to be. I get up, and I'll never forget it. It was so priceless. His face was like, "Did you really?" Like he was embarrassed big time. He was like, "Are you really?" He was like, "Mama, are you really getting up? Are you really leaving?" And I'm like, "Yeah, bye." And I go carry my behind over to the bar, leave him at the table. This thing is 500 degrees hot.
Embarrassed.
Right.
Totally embarrassed.
I'm slightly impressed because I would have never done that to someone, but you just really pissed me off.
Push you to the limit.
Yeah, like you talking outside of your throat, and I ain't got to put up with this stuff. I just came home out of my house, out of my bed, where I was comfortable for this BS. Boom. Yeah. So I go up to the bar, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like chatting up with people around me because I'm social. And I'm like, I tell the waitress, I don't know whatever he ordered, but I'm not paying for his drink. But you can redirect my bill over to me. And I'm sitting there and I'm drinking and just minding my business. So he finally gets up from the table because he's fuming. He don't know what to do with me. And he comes over. A gentleman always pays. Your meal is paid for. I was like, boy, bye. And he walks out and he leaves. I'm like, okay, thanks, boo-boo. Well, that thing blew my phone up the rest of the night. And the next day, and the next day, trying to be apologetic. What I was trying to do, what I meant to say, this is what was happening. I'm like, no, I'm good. Can we try it again, please? Nope. You have really done me up, and I'm good to go on you.
Try it again. What's going to change? Your first impression was you.
There you go.
You were giving it everything you had to try to work me over right then, and
exactly.
You lost.
You focus on some BS when you missed the whole point. And maybe about a year or so later, because you know Atlanta's yay big, right? It's big, but not big. I'm over at Cafe Intermezzo, and I'm like, that guy looks familiar, you know, because I never forget a face. And I'm like, that guy looks familiar. I don't know why. And I remembered his name, which I don't know why I did that either, cause, like, probably because I put him on the do not call list, you know? You know, on your phone back then, you would put...
He was blackballed.
Right, you put will do not answer. That was that one right there. Yeah. Will do not answer.
He was blackballed.
So I'm like, hey, and he's like, hey, we should meet up sometime. And I'm like, uh-uh, you still that one over there. And then the funny part was, he went to my church. Isn't that crazy? Well, the interesting part was the church had like three services on Sunday, and it was a bigger church, mega church. So I never saw him, but when I found that connection, I'm sitting here like, now that is not what the pastor been preaching. The stuff you pushed out is not what the pastor is, you know, what he's trying to get us to do as young people trying to date. So I was like, oh my God, coincidences won't end. So because of that, I said, okay, you can take me out to dessert. So we went to dessert. We talked for a little bit. I still was, like, not even interested because that bad experience.
Guards, you had your guards up and you blocking it. He's dead beat.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm really just here for the free meal now. Like, seriously, because I just want to have a chance to do it over.
Tune him out. I didn't hear anything.
Oh, my God. That thing blew up my phone so bad. I ended up deleting him and was like, blocked, bye, whatever. Because I was like, that's just crazy. But I'm like, for him, it should have been a lesson learned. You did too much too fast for no reason. You did not have to do all that. And this thing could have went a totally different direction.
Yeah, he had a program and you wouldn't
have a program. But I think sometimes, too, when guys feel like they have upper hand or they think they're bringing more money to
they
the table.
Leverage.
Right. And they feel like they can control the situation. Well, this one right here ain't one to be controlled. You probably already know that, right, Charles?
Hey, there you go. I know. But she's not for everybody, and she's a free spirit.
And I told you that, too, didn't I?
Yes, you ended up telling me that. Because I was trying to wonder, you know, why independent sort, financially secure and stable, don't really need a man for most reasons. Most women need a man's financial security and all that good stuff. You didn't really need all that. I'm looking at you saying, damn, good looking, sexy. Got a little paper. Say, okay, how'd I get in here? And why is she by herself? I'm looking for the other shoe to drop. Why is she alone? That means it's some devilish stuff going on here because she's by herself and got all this going for her.
Nope, but see, that's where your mindset was small because... Some people are single, but yeah, you're small minded, bro.
And no, it wasn't that my mind was small. It was I had only the experiences I was used to that I could draw from.
Mm-hmm. And we know they were.
Anytime a woman was working with a whole lot and she was alone, it was because either she was half behind crazy or all the way crazy.
Mm-hmm.
One of them two.
But never once could she just be single by choice.
No. You're always by choice because Negroes are smart enough to stay away from that crap.
No. Not because I'm crazy. I'm just single by choice and I'm not crazy, by the way.
No, you're not crazy. Mm-hmm. But you're not single by choice.
Hmm.
You are very intimidating to most men because they have no way of leveraging you. Guys like to leverage something. Either I need to bring more money to the table and impress you with my car, my house, what I can do. And if I can't do
that's if you're into material stuff, and I'm not into that. I like nice stuff, but I'm not materialistic, and there is a difference.
Okay, you're not materialistic, but everybody needs a little material, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can pay the mortgage faster than I can, and three times as much, and it doesn't cost you half anything because your budget is much bigger, then that's a material. Now, you might not go in it for that, but hey, that saves you the mortgage money if Joe Blow wants to pay the mortgage. See what I'm saying? You're not looking for that, but if it shows up, you're not going to kick him to the curb if you're dating him and he's volunteering.
Well, no, that's facts. But, you know, I never really found people. I had friends who were like damsels, I'll call them, right? And guys would like throw money in here. Let me pay for your car. Let me pay for your child daycare. Let me pay for your whatever, whatever. I never got guys like that.
Because guys can pretty much sense the women that's going to earn that money.
And no, it wasn't even about, like, booty for money. It wasn't that. It was just, like, they felt like they were rescuing you something like that. And I guess I didn't have that rescue vibe. I don't know.
But let me check it out. When we rescue you, we may not go booty for money today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I might not need you right now. Mm-hmm. I just might need to make sure I have something to shoot for later on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I got a month with rent and you and I'm not bothering you or calling you, what you trying to do to me? You're looking for me now. Because I don't pay your rent. I didn't ask you anything.
No, not really. I'm going, thanks, and let me find the next player.
That's you. Because you're that independent sort. But the other friends that was taking that stuff, trust and believe, some of those guys got that holler back.
Wow. Not the holler back.
Yeah, when they
I'm weak.
When they wasn't even looking for it. Yeah, when they wasn't even looking for it, you know?
I don't know. I guess I actually went to therapy over this one after getting divorced. I was like, my therapist, Jerry, bless his heart. You met Jerry.
Yes, I met Jerry.
But I went to Jerry. I was like, Jerry, I want to know what am I pushing out versus what I'm getting back, which meant like I attract like crazy people, which is fine. My personality is kind of upbeat and crazy, so I don't mind. I get characters left and right, and I love that. But when I'm dating, I was looking for a certain thing. So I'm like, what vibes am I sending relative to what I'm receiving back? I'm like, I think there's something wrong with me. He's like, oh, Miss Williams, there's something wrong with you. I'm like, yes, there is, Jerry. He's like, no, there is. So we go back and forth. And I bet he's like, you know what? Now I'm going to need a drink and I'm going to need therapy because you really work with me. But I wanted to know what was wrong. I was like, I'm broken. I need to be fixed. And he's like, you're not broken. You just, the thing with dating, he says, is say you met a black guy who was tall, blah, 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 and he didn't work out. The normal propensity is to go, I hate all tall dudes, or I hate all light-skinned dudes, or I hate all black men. He says, no, you just don't like that particular black guy who happened to be this, 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 and this. That doesn't mean everybody who's that way fits that bill. So he had to help me see through that. And I was like, okay, receive.
Thank you, Jerry. That must be how I got in.
Oh, there you go.
Because before I showed up, it was tall, red, and athletic.
And you are not tall, and you are not light-skinned.
I'm short, chocolate, and round is all in the natural.
And I love powder, so I don't even know how you slipped through the door. You were chocolate powder. You weren't vanilla powder.
Slipped through the door? I didn't slip. I kicked the damn door down.
Okay, now. Oh, there must be that. What do you have to drink today?
Today? I had some Hennessy and Amaretto.
That's that part that's talking right now.
But on top of that, remember, I tried to run out the door after I realized you like tall, red, and athletic. I said, well, you know, this is not going to work. You know, I might as well move on. You looked at me like, oh, you don't cancel you. I cancel you.
Well, right, because I'm the boss. You don't tell me you're going to leave. I will dismiss you. You don't dismiss yourself. Who does that?
I said, okay, I was just, you know, getting in where I fit in. I said, okay, I'm going to figure this is going to work out. You know, she likes something different. I like something different because you was slim, sexy, and tall, and I like short, petite, and
yeah, we were not each other's type. So, I don't know how the hell we got together because you like them round, I like them tall and slim. And
I didn't like them necessarily round.
No, you said you like full figure chicks. I wasn't no full figure chicks.
I like a size 8, 9, 10.
You did not say that. Yeah. You was like 12, 15, 16.
Nobody go to 16, 16.
Oh, you are.
excuse me, ladies, I don't mean it that way, but you know.
Now you're going to have the internet mad at you.
I'm sorry, I don't mean it like that. What I'm trying to say is this. If there's no definite line where your belly begins and your behind ends, then it wasn't working for me. I wouldn't care if you was a 22. If there's a definite line where your belly ends and your behind begins, you still got some curvature. That's what I'm working
with. Nope, you lying, because you was like, you know, you country anyway. So you was using them countryisms. She thick in the waist, happy in the face, and all this other nonsense you were saying. I don't even know the country stuff you'd be saying half the time. I ignore it pretty much, but.
Okay.
That's some nonsense you said to me.
I'm going to keep you around. You know it was the stuff I said. You paid attention. You
probably would have
rain.
Yeah, so I was like, you and your little country stuff. I can't get with that. So I just, I read between the lines, parsed it into words I could internalize, and I just did what I had to do. So, yeah.
So you figured you meant to be it somehow.
Well, you know what it was? I think, Charles, you come to a point where you have needs versus wants, right? And you go, and it is, some people would say that's called, what's that word people say you're doing? You're sacrificing yourself, or what's the word they say? What's the word people use when they feel like they're giving up something? I think it might
not
be sacrificing.
Compromising, but,
settling. Yes. There you go. They're settling. I know some S word. So I came to the point where I did a needs analysis, and I was like, okay, here's what I think I need, and of course, this is what I want. Now, you weren't all that I wanted, but you were pretty much what I needed. And in that moment, at that time, because I wasn't even looking, by the way, let me just be clear about that. I was good with my life, raising my sons. We had our little thing going on. And I didn't want no country guy either. So, boom. How did you get through the door? Okay.
You didn't know what you wanted, and the country guy was what you needed.
Yeah, so there you go. You were needs-based versus wanted-based. But in the need came the want. Does it make sense?
That makes sense.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
I found something I needed, and then I realized I just want this, too.
Yeah.
That works.
But truth be told, and we had this conversation before, I think it was more of, you said you were looking for some kids to be like a foster parent to, yes, or to mentor, back. Right? Yeah, I wanted to give back. And having all girls, me having boys was different for you. And they definitely brought their stuff to the table.
Oh, no. I don't know what I was thinking.
Right. And I wasn't looking for a father figure for them, but I was looking for someone who wanted to spend time with them. Because the guy I had dated before you, he was halfway about me and not really about them. So you weren't even 100% into me because he was busy doing his little contractor work and, you know, I got to get this money, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, you don't really have time for me. Whenever I would say that, he's like, you complaining all the time. I'm like, just because I want to have a conversation does not mean I'm complaining. It means I'm trying to tell you, we're going to do this. You got to spend a little more time with me. At some point, business hours have to end. And he wasn't getting that. And I wasn't seeing him hang out with the boys, even though he was respectful to the boys and, you know, he talked to them. But he wasn't giving off those vibes like I needed him to give. So I knew that wasn't going to work anyway. And he annoyed the shit out of me. So I was like, you got to go. I can't be annoyed in the process.
You did somebody get annoyed you?
Yeah, he annoyed me. He did. Because all that whole, whenever I want to talk, you being, what was what I said? He said, I'm crying. Yeah, I'm crying and complaining.
That's where you got it from, huh?
Yeah, I just was like, that's not what I'm into. And I don't need to hear that every time I want to talk. So I was like, you're not user friendly. So I'm good on you. I had to let that go. So I was like, done with people completely. I just wanted to live my life. And then your way I showed up.
And I was ready to work because you said you needed somebody who would spend time with you. And Lord knows I ain't going to spend time because I had nothing but time. And I said, I smothered a woman in my life and you got smothered.
Yeah, you were smothering. And I had to shut that shit down too because I was like, you know, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, ladies, because I said I wanted somebody who would spend time with me and wanted to focus on me. Well, damn, you kind of served that up a lot. And I was like, that's why I broke up with you. Because I was like, you're doing too much. You're smothering me, suffocating me. You always over here. You always want to be talking. I'm
makes you stupid question.
What's that?
Why was I at your house? Because you kept inviting me over.
Well, I
volunteered to come over.
I did open the door, so I
called me and said, what are you doing? Come on over. I said, why does she keep inviting me over? I'm getting on her nerves.
I don't know.
And then after you dumped me, you came back.
Well, you know it was because you wouldn't leave.
I wouldn't leave.
You wouldn't leave. It was the coming over and the problem. But I'm like, okay, now I'm like,
9 o'clock.
Is this dude going to leave? Like, I got shite to do. I need you to be gone.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, I would go home.
No, you wouldn't. No, yes. You wouldn't. It'd be sometimes around 10. I'm like, God. I'm like,
okay, 10.
I had stuff I wanted to do tonight, but this one over here. So
use your words.
No, I won't use my words. You use your words. Get out.
I had nowhere to go but home.
There you go. Get out.
There's nothing at my house.
See, that's why I broke up. I said, you know, this one doing too much.
Okay, why'd you come back?
Because I felt bad.
Right,
I did. Right, I told right, you. Right. I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
You dumped me for a week and you thought my feelings was hurt?
Oh, they were. Don't try it.
You tried calling me, but you know.
No, you was like, you was trying to play that role like, oh, I'm good. But you even admitted, you said, I was really sad.
I was sad because I liked you, but 1 week you didn't stop my show.
Oh, okay. That's what we're doing.
No, I mean, I went to.
Okay, that's what we're doing.
That week you dumped me, I went out on several days.
Whatever. They weren't Rashida, so that's all Rashida. That really matters.
I thought about you the whole time I was out.
Okay.
I thought about you the whole time I was out. I said, I could have been in her house, but. She want to run me out here in these streets.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I told my girlfriend. My girlfriend's like, leave him alone. I was like, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. Da-da-da-da-da.
So you married me not to hurt my feelings?
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank God for feelings.
Well, they're feelings. What about those feelings? Anyway.
Yeah, it works out for me.
Before you go down this little rabbit hole.
I didn't lose.
Ridiculous self.
I didn't lose.
In the words of Beyonce, upgrade you. Upgrade you.
You just got to upgrade when you got me.
A word?
Word.
Oh, okay.
You said that yourself.
Oh, the lies.
You did just say that.
What part of me got upgraded?
He wasn't working for you.
That don't mean, that's not an upgrade.
That was an upgrade.
Well, upgrading the streets means, you got somebody who's rich.
Let me just explain the upgrade to you in reality.
Oh, okay. So the streets
you,
not
for
talking.
You, for you in the streets.
Oh, okay.
If you're paper chasing, upgrade might be money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just living, an upgrade is anything that brings you value more than what you have.
No, that ain't the street definition. America, is that the street definition of upgrade? That foolishness Charles just said, probably not. We want to hear from you.
Check it out.
No,
if I got a brunette and I want a blonde, and I finally got that blonde, that's an upgrade.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's called a change of choice.
No, that's an upgrade, depending on what the blonde I'm working with, because you're going to have some other amenities you want, you know.
Lord help
so,
Jesus.
I'm just trying to say, an upgrade is something that gives you something value that you didn't have before. That is an upgrade.
And on that lovely definition of a note, we're going to call it a day. So 5 years later, here we are. So happy anniversary, Charles.
Well, happy anniversary to you, Rashida. I love you.
And thanks for doing this podcast. It was fun. I wanted to just chop it up with you in the studio. You know, I'm always having other people around, so I thought, why not just bring you in on it?
I'm glad I let you in.
Ooh.
I really am. You know, because I was looking for
you're glad you let me in. Yeah. I like that. I think we're going to be okay. I might re-up you for another 5 years. We'll see what that looks like in our invisible marriage renewable contract.
But just don't bring it to my attention as we get closer to the years or how many years I have, because, you know, I get to thinking on that thing, and I start,
Except get jacked up. That's all I'm going to say. On that note, you've been listening to the Real and Random Podcast. You can find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, etc. It's been a great episode talking with you, Charles. We're going to let the listeners get back a little bit of their time, and we will see you next week, same time, same channel, same place. And remember, your best and brightest days are ahead.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, 5 more years.
I need you to never say woo-woo again. But we will catch you on the flip side on the next episode of the Real and Random Podcast. We're out.